It's Tuesday, the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, everyone. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Kai Rizdahl. North Korea says it successfully tested an intercontinental ballistic missile for the first time, upping the ante in an already tense standoff. Russia and China want a cooling down. Government officials from those countries have proposed a moratorium on North Korean nuclear and missile tests and are asking the U.S. and South Korea to hold off on any large-scale military exercises. Even before this test, North Korea and reining in its weapons program was going to be a big part of the discussion at the upcoming G20 meeting. For more, we've got Marketplace's Adam Allington with us. Adam, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
What's expected to be the conversation at the G20 later this week? How much is North Korea and their missile test today going to be a part of that conversation?
Well, for starters, it's worth noting that the president was, big surprise, already tweeting about North Korea's launch earlier this morning. He talked about how Japan and South Korea might take some kind of action. He even raised the possibility that China might take what he called a heavy move against North Korea. The U.S., South Korea, and Japan were already scheduled for a sit-down to talk about North Korea, as well as a renegotiation of South Korea's trade relationship with the U.S. That's likely put on the back burner for now.
Are there still economic buttons or levers to push in our dealings with North Korea?
I put that very question to Patrick Cronin, director of the Asia-Pacific Security Program at the Center for a New America Security.
There are economic incentives and disincentives that would be put into place. And I'm sure this will be a G20 agenda item on how to maximize economic pressure, but also economic incentive without rewarding bad behavior from North Korea.
It sounds to me a lot like a stick-and-carrot approach here. The UN Security Council has already imposed significant sanctions on North Korea. What more could they do? What would that look like?
Yeah, in terms of trade, North Korea has very little connections with the rest of the world. China's really North Korea's sole trading partner, so any economic pressure would have to come from China. Patrick Cronin says this could take the form of some kind of penalty or sanction for Chinese banks doing business with North Korea.
We're at a watershed, and it could go either way, whether it's going to go toward heavy secondary sanctions and making sure that China actually closes down its important economic interaction with North Korea, or it could go the other direction.
What's the other direction here, Adam? What's that look like?
Yeah, that other direction Cronin was referring to would be something like a de-escalation plan, something similar to what China and Russia are proposing now, something that would bring the parties back to the negotiation table to work out a deal and possibly lift sanctions.
If that doesn't happen, what are the broader implications for the global economy here?
Well, one concern is of a potential deterioration of the U.S.-China trading relationship. That is, if China doesn't get on board with accelerating secondary sanctions on Chinese banks doing business with North Korea, that could lead to some kind of breakdown in its relationship with the U.S., which would have all kinds of other economic ripple effects. Also, and this is a worst-case scenario, but any kind of preemptive military strike or action to take out North Korea's nuclear program would be bad for markets, and that goes without saying.
Marketplace's Adam Allington from Washington, D.C. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Adrienne.